So for those of you that don't know who I am and what my story is, I'm an ex-con as well. You know, I had a 25 to life bit. I did 12 and a half years in San Quentin, Folsom, Corcoran, Pelican Bay. I did a year in the SHU program in Pelican Bay. I also did a year at Corcoran. I was three doors down from Charles Manson. I used to call him Chuck. You know, so I know what we go through. I have been out of the penitentiary system since 99. I'm now a motivational speaker and I go back in the prisons. And I don't have to post bail to get back out. So it's kind of unique what God does in us. But see, I had to get over my fear of life. I had to get out of the boat. I had to be willing to say, no matter how hard the storms were, that I had to put my eyes on something more important and something that I couldn't believe because I couldn't see it. Many of us are materialistic type people. Show me and I can believe. But faith is something that I really had to learn. In the book of Matthew chapter 14, we'll start in verse 22. Immediately after Jesus, this was crazy too, because I'm going to stop right here. I almost switched everything tonight, and as soon as we ran out of food, I was like, what? We ran out of food? But then God said, hey, stay with what I told you. So immediately after this, Jesus insisted that the disciples get into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people that he had just fed, the 4,000, 5,000, home. So after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Right down here, women's first door on the left, men's is the second door on the left. Yes, that was a housekeeping rule I probably should have told people. If you got to go, it's that way. Yeah, sorry. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. So he put them dudes in a boat, and out he went, sending them to the other side. Now, I don't know how big this lake was, but it had to be big enough for a storm. I don't know how big your problem is, but you're in a storm. Some of the fears I heard in here already, you're still in that storm. So in verse 24, it says, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far from the land. For a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. Brothers, you've been in the boat, and sisters. And you've lost sight of the shore where you know you just left hope, the King of Kings, the one that just did a miraculous feeding of 5,000. And you're out there in the middle of it. It's dark. The storm's cracking. The waves are going. And it's not in like the cruise ship boat. You in a boat, man. You know, the little fisherman boat? About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." Now, wait a minute. I'm kind of curious. Storms are going, lightning cracking, thunder rolling, waves are tossing, and here comes something walking across the water. Now, I'm pretty sure it would be intimidating, but didn't you just leave that dude over there on the shore? Wouldn't you kind of know who this dude was walking on that water? They hollered out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Some of you said you're afraid of relapse. Some of you are afraid of losing your family. Have you ever realized he hasn't left you no matter how big your storm is? Amen. Have you ever realized that What do we do when we doubt that the new chapter of life God is writing for us? How do we keep our eyes focused on the goal when everything is trying to distract us? My court date's in 2 weeks. Well, keep going to community corrections or DCS or CDS or PPS or ABB or whatever you got to do to clean and pee, and you don't have to worry about when you go to court. You're not locked up at 415 South Calhoun Street. So it's obvious you got a chance, right? It's obvious. You're here tonight, so house arrest must have let you out. You're in a halfway house. Somebody let you out. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage, I am here. Then Peter, this is me. I'm Peter, dude. I'm this dude. I know this is me, dude. I wrote all about how this is me. So Peter called out to him, "Hey, Lord, dude, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." Wow. See, I learned a great lesson. Am I ready to get out the boat? Or am I going to look at my surroundings and say, this is scary as fire, dude? I was facing 104 years to life my last time in front of a judge. 104 years to life, family. Why they put life on the end of that, I still ain't figured that part out. I'm going away. But see, it was time to get out the boat. Time to get out the boat. Then Peter called him, "Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So I don't care what you're looking at right now, what the waves look like, what the thunder looks like, what that looks like, this looks like. Jesus said, "Yes, come." Now, Donnie, I'm afraid of the water. I ain't going to lie. But see, I realized already that the figment that Satan was trying to show me was not a ghost. That's the dude that I just witnessed on the shoreline feeding 5,000. And I know him. I know who he is. So being the good guy I am, I went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. Did you get that word? I walked on the water toward Jesus. I'm already cruising, homie. On the water. Because see, I had my eyes on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Peter had his eyes on the prize. Peter was walking on the water, bro, sisters. Man, that just blew my mind. I'm like, what? He was walking toward Jesus. But when I started looking at my situation, "You don't understand, man. I ain't got no money. You don't understand. What is yours? What is your situation right now? What is your situation right now that you're not looking at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? What's taking your eyes off of the King of Kings?" But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified. Terrified. Like, oh, what the heck, dude? I might get 104 years. I might have to do a 30-day timeout because I relapsed. I might just get whatever you fill in your blank. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. And this is me, and it's probably someone else in this room. "Save me, Lord." I watched a brother say this up here from this platform one day. "Man, I got it going on. I'm doing what's right. And then I do what's wrong. And then I'm cuffed, I'm stuffed, I'm in the holding tank. Oh, why? Why did I do that again?" Simple. Very simple. Took your eyes off the prize. Y'all lottery freaks in here, or that quick spin or any of that, man, we watch that lottery. Woo. Come on, baby, sevens, whatever. I don't know how to play that, but it sounded good. And we watch it. We didn't take our eyes off that because there was money involved. There was money involved there. Come on, million! I ain't seen a Hertz yet with a U-Haul behind it. That million ain't going to win you nothing. Put your eyes back on Jesus. Save me, Lord, he shouted. And this is Jesus. Jesus immediately. He didn't say, hang on, homie, I got to go over here and take care of this homie over here. Jose is struggling, dude. He immediately, that's how much he loves you and he loves me, reached out and grabbed him. Now, can you imagine starting to sink? Lightning's going and everything. He's standing right there and you're looking at all this and you probably got up to your knees and you're like, ah, I'm going to drown. Up to your booty. Ah, it's getting deep. And right when it gets up to your neck, in the trouble you've created for yourself because you took your eyes off of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you remember to holler out, save me, Lord. You ain't that deep right now. You are not that deep right now. You have enough chance right now to say, save me, Lord. All them fears that you have to your mind, those are real. But you don't think his life for you is real? You don't think what he's got for you right now is real? All you got to do is look at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords instead of the circumstances. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, Peter helped us answer those questions because, see, as he jumped out of the boat, Peter had faith. He was walking on the water. You already been in trouble. You already been in the storm. You already know you're in a faith-based meeting. So you must have something going on here. But see, you don't know what Wendy Davis is going to do to me. Get that part out of there. Wendy's my friend. Fran Gall. I got to go back to drug court, man, and I got a violation. That was a choice, homie. That was a straight up choice. You don't know where I came from. Dude, I've been on the streets of my life since I was 13 years old. Don't tell me. I don't know where you came from. In Los Angeles, California, on Skid Row. Try living homeless out there. Try doing what you do and blaming it on people, places, and things till you're 38 years old. Yeah. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? Oh, Lord, I didn't think you would pay attention to me. I got this, Lord. I got one more in me. A buddy of mine came out last night to do homeless with me, and his buddy just died Saturday night from a drug overdose. A brother that just helped him move last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, saying, I'm doing great. How great is he? See, I hate when people say this. Relapse is part of recovery. No, it's not. It's a choice in recovery, but it don't have to be a part of recovery. See, each and every one of you made a choice today to stay clean and sober. Was it hard? Dude, I fought addiction. I ain't lying. I fought addiction. Read my book. I fought addiction. I love Peter because he reminds me of myself. See, he is quick to act, often without thinking. We just like Peter. They come to get him, come get Jesus, take him to the cross. Peter got like, I got you. Wham! And God's like, whoa, homie, no. He picked that ear up and said, don't do that to this dude. This is my destiny. See, because we want to protect Jesus when it's good for us, when life's easy. But when it gets hard, I'm going to deny you, Lord. These dudes are looking a little rough. I ain't going to do it. Ah! Didn't Jesus even say to that boy, you're going to deny me Three times? Or the crow, rooster, something? Help a brother out.
Rooster.
Rooster gonna crow. Three times. Ain't that your body? Nope. Ain't you a believer? Nope. Weren't you over? Nope. Woo. But Peter still loved him like he loves us. He still loved him just like he loves us. Hey, I got an amazing wife, dude. I just want you all to know this. She learned how to type things out for me. She goes, dude, you got to scatter your sermons. And I'm like, well, keep me focused. That don't work. But I'm going to humor her. She's amazing. When it came to Peter walking on water, I've heard other people say he had a lack of faith. Really? How do you have a lack of faith? Look at the storm you're in. Look at the storm he was in out there on that ocean, that sea. I was driving one time and down southern Indiana, and I didn't have no radio reception. Pulling trailer, cruising along, and dude, it was bad. Skies were black, lightning just going, wind just rocking my truck, my trailer. But see, I didn't know as I went around this next corner that a hurricane or a tornado had just went through there. I caught the tail end of a tree going right across the interstate. Huh. God knew that storm was there. And whether I knew it or not, he protected me. That was a physical storm. I went for sentencing for 104 years to life. And God protected me. God protected me. Long story short, I got 100 years wiped off of my sentence. God protected me. God chose a sinner like me, just like he chose sinners like you. Family, we don't go for perfection. We go for progress. Every day you get up and you show up to the Word of God, you acknowledge the one that can save you. Every time you get up and look at your phone to see who's got the dope, you're in your own lossless life, your own addiction. But why? See, do you know what real is and what counterfeit is? I looked this up, dude, and this kind of blew my mind. You know how they train federal agents to find counterfeit money? They stick them in a room for several days with real money, and they just count, and they just touch, and they just count, and they just touch. Then about 3 or 4 days into that process, they slip a counterfeit in it. Do you know how to find a counterfeit prophet, a counterfeit preacher? You have to stay in that room with Jesus Christ. You have to study that word. You have to know him in your heart. If you're going to date a woman and you're like, oh God, she's just amazing, dude. I just love her. I want to love her. I believe she's the one God sent in my life. You spend time getting to know her. You spend time getting to listen to her. You get time to know her birth date, her colors, her family. Family, why will you do that for a woman or a man? And you don't want to do it for Jesus. The 4 years I got, I studied. My 12 and a half years I did in the California system, I sat as high as I could up there on the bleachers. I was one of those guys. My 4 years I got, I spent it in chapel. I spent it reading the word, so that when I got out, I had him in my heart. We must know the person Jesus. We have to be able to eliminate truth from a lie. See, Peter left the boat when he knew it was Jesus walking on the water. For a little while he was walking on the water, Peter does the impossible. But when we're doing what's right, it becomes too easy. It becomes our own will. But see, then Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. Some of you in this room have taken your eyes off of Jesus. And your fear, as we spoke earlier, is real to you. But my prayer for you tonight is put your eyes back on Jesus. My disciples, my brothers, family, I watch these guys. I'm a director over in Huntington at the Indiana Dream Center. I have seven of my guys here tonight. These seven guys right here know that I could look on my phone, I could look on my laptop, I could do anytime I want, and I got cameras in the house that I could see what they're doing. I don't check it. I don't really need to check it. But they built that trust. This brother right here, 14 months in the program, is now graduated and coming back, giving back to my brothers. One's a week in the program, 2 weeks in the program. But I don't watch them. You know why I don't watch them? Because they still got their eyes on Jesus. But one day, there's a little app that it'll ding if one of my lines go off, so one of them unplugs it or something. It'll just ding. It says, camera offline. Well, so I'll go on the camera and see why it's offline. It's kind of like, all right, sneaky, I got you all the way in Fort Wayne. And it's a glitch. It's a glitch. They'll have a quick power outage or something. Camera will say offline, blah, blah, blah. So I pull up the camera. I seen these brothers at, God, it had to be 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, sitting around the dining room table doing devotions. Are you blessed because you want to be blessed, or do you want to keep putting your eyes on what's happening around you, the storm? So, oh, you're lucky. I got you till 10. Everybody looked at the clock. No, you don't. So when Peter got into the boat, after all that, the disciples, them other 11 knuckleheads, that Peter was the only one with enough guts to get out and walk to them, they worshiped Jesus. Why would they worship Jesus when he got in the boat? The same storm's happening. Huh. I believe that your storm is not as bad as you think it is. I think you just have to remember you are a disciple of Jesus Christ at all times. Have the courage not to look at your situations, but have the courage to say, I will not take my eyes off of Jesus Christ no matter how big the waves get. So my conclusion, God, she types like a champ, dude. Thank you, Kelly. Whatever it is, the one greater than fears is if you fear your problem more than one person said, I think it was you, I have a fear of Jesus Christ. But it's a healthy fear. It's a healthy fear. There's acronyms for fear. False evidence appearing real. My mentor tell me, suck it up, buttercup. Face it, explore it, accept it, and respond to it. I got Wyatt Molnix for 21 years. And if you know Wyatt Molnix, that's been my boy for a long, long time. A long, long time. But see, you got to get out the boat and walk through the storm with your eyes on Jesus. Because see, he's your best lifeguard you'll ever have. Ever. So tonight you came in here with one thing on your mind. I pray when you walk out of here tonight, you'll have Jesus on your mind. But for those of you that maybe don't know Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity tonight to know Jesus. For those of you that do know Jesus, and maybe you just need to repent or ask him back into your life, I'm going to give you that opportunity as well. I call it the ABCs of salvation. We admit we're sinners. Every one of us are sinners. We admit our life is in the storm and has been in the storm. But see, we believe Jesus is who he says he is. That he came to this earth for you and for me. He went to that cross for our sins, for you and for me. 3 days later, one of his buddies went up and said, hey man, let me have dude, you know he's dead. Let me lay him in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, there's this chick. She went over to check and see about how old Jesus' body was in there. And she looked in, peeked in, and she screamed, ah! They took him! His linen clothes that he was buried in were folded neatly and placed upon the tomb bed. And Jesus, only way Jesus can do it, standing there outside going, hey, who are you looking for? Oh, they took my guy! And she ran to these other two knuckleheads. And she said, hey, they took Jesus, the tomb's empty. Which one of these guys are you? Ready? One ran back to the tomb, and the other one walked. Like, oh, you check it out, homie. I'll be there in a minute. Which one are you? Are you running back to the empty tomb, or are you going to walk? And see, Jesus rose again. And today you choose to live your life for him, even in the storm. So with all heads bowed, all eyes closed, if you're ashamed to speak it out, that's between you and God. But if you feel like you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, say this prayer. If you think you and believe that you need to rededicate your life to Jesus, just repeat after me with this simple prayer. Father God in heaven, I admit I'm a sinner. I believe you came to this earth for me. I believe you went to that cross for my sins. I believe 3 days later you rose from that tomb. I believe you ascended to the right hand of your Father. And you sent the Holy Spirit here for me. Father God in heaven, today I choose to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. And together all God's people said, amen. Amen. So if you said that prayer, welcome home. If it's your very first time, please let Marvin or I know. We would love to be able to mentor you and walk you through. But here's the deal, dudes and ladies. That exit sign right there should say entrance. There's your battle. There's your battle. But if you remember this, no matter if what you're doing, no matter how it's going, put your eyes on the prize and you cannot lose. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray it out and get out.